This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Kentucky Downs.
Exaggerator, down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
It's Gone Runner. Gone Runner with Laurent Giroux. Clear to the finish in the Louisiana Derby. Gone Runner wins Going Away.
Also sponsored by Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Gulfstream Park, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Kirkwood Stables, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, the New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Sunrise Stallions, Tony's of Lexington, the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
And Moore Spirit is progressing very nicely under Gary Stevens as he takes care of business with plenty left in the tank.
Destin and Creator, these two come down to the line together. Two close to goal. It was Creator and Destin right on the wire.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Kentucky Downs here in the month of July. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pope Jude, Pontiff of the Pick Four, and what a morning it is. And we are positioned not at Kentucky Downs, but a bit further northward in Saratoga Springs, New York, and we are literally... It is a spectacular morning with temperatures up into the mid-80s already. We're on our way to the low 90s. Not a single cloud in the sky. The color of the sky, I guess you could describe it as robin egg blue, and the sun continuing to rise here into the eastern sky. And JT, boy, what a morning. Horses on the track. Welcome to Saratoga.
Yeah, thank you. It's a beautiful day here, as you mentioned, and everybody's out. People are grabbing donuts and coffee and coming out to the rail, watching the horses train. A lot of kids out this morning. We love to see that. We got to get some new fans, and that's the way to do it. Get the kids out here early and let them enjoy this. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
And for the second consecutive year, we embark upon our Saturdays at Saratoga series for you here on the network, bringing you exclusive radio coverage of the sport's biggest races every single Saturday afternoon. And that is seven consecutive Saturdays during this 2016 race meet. Kicks off this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern time, with the Grade 1 Diana. That's going to be right here on Sirius XM Channel 93.
Yeah, what a great way to lead into the NFL season, Saratoga.
NFL? JT, it's July 23rd.
I know.
Look, you know me. I'm as diehard a Pittsburgh Steeler fan as there is. I don't even want to think about the NFL right now.
I'm just telling you, the words of your father continue to echo in my ears.
Yeah.
When Saratoga starts, summer's over.
Yeah, well,
and it's going to go fast. 7 weeks flies by up here. You blink your eyes and the meet's over with. So we're going to enjoy it as much as we possibly can.
The great thing about Saratoga is it really is a family destination. You mentioned all of the children that are out here now with their parents, and they're getting a close look at all the horses, not just the racehorses, but the outrider ponies as well. And that's a very special thing for a lot of the kids. It's something that resonates with them and sticks with them. And hey, you look at the surrounding areas. You have Lake George, which is only about 20 or 25 minutes north of Saratoga. You have Albany, New York, which is the capital, about a half hour south of Saratoga. So there are a lot of different things going on in the area and a lot of things to take advantage of.
Yeah, and even Cooper a little baseball history. So it's a great destination. Come and enjoy, and of course, downtown Saratoga, nothing like it. Great restaurants, nice shopping, just a beautiful area to hang out. Fantastic ice cream, by the way.
Yeah, tremendous ice cream, tremendous food. We had a great dinner the other night over at Blue Agave Mexican Restaurant, which is a new restaurant here in Saratoga, not too far from the track. And boy, what a tremendous meal we had over there.
Yeah, great food and nice margaritas. It was a beautiful night. So there's lots of fun things to do in Saratoga, and if you have a chance, you got to come up here.
11 races on the docket for this afternoon. Now, keep in mind, this is day number two of racing. We kicked off the 2016 2016 meet yesterday. In terms of what we're going to see today, two graded stakes, the 102nd running of the Grade 3 Sanford, which is, believe it or not, set for race number 3 at 2:07 Eastern because it's only a 5-horse field. Then the 79th running of the Grade 1 Diana, which is race number 10 at 6:18 Eastern. In terms of the storyline surrounding this 2016 meet, Judah, you know, there's always a lot of talk about who's going to be the leading trainer at Saratoga. And quite frankly, it hasn't been much of a discussion over the past several years because Todd Pletcher has won the training title 12 times. He's looking for his 7th consecutive Saratoga title this year. But a lot of people thinking it might be Chad Brown to be the one holding up that trophy at the end of the meet.
Well, for the last few years, people have been saying that. And I know even Todd kind of said, you know, Chad Brown, he's loaded, and maybe I don't have as many horses as he's got, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay. I'm betting on the Toddster.
Well, he's got an early deficit.
Yeah, he's down 2-1. He had a bad day yesterday. He only won one race.
It was a stake. In true Todd fashion, if you're going to win one, you're going to. And how about that horse? Of course, winning with John Velasquez aboard. What was it, 4-1? The odds on the winner in the stake?
Yeah, that was ridiculous. I mean, that was amazing to get the $10 on a Pletcher 2-year-old in the stakes race with Johnny V.
A daughter of Tappet.
Yeah, on top of it.
Sweet,
yes.
Loretta.
Are you listening, Michael Hernan?
Another Tappet stakes winner in the Grade 3 Schuylerville. And then Chad Brown, in true Chad fashion, came back and won the turf race, the Lake George. That was a Grade 2 race 9 yesterday with Ancient Secret. So both Todd and Chad making their presence felt in those stakes races.
Yeah, well, you know, Chad had several in that race. So these guys, they're going to go at it tooth and nail. And one thing, if you don't want a handicap, you can just come out here and bet Pletcher and Brown and forget about it.
How about the rider title? Now, this was always a little bit more wide open. You had guys like Javier and John Velasquez, who are perennial mainstays at the top of the list here at Saratoga. Last year, young Irad Ortiz Jr. was the one to take home the title, and he picked up right where he left off a year ago yesterday.
Yeah, he was showing off a little bit. He won 4 on the card, and I'm sure his compatriots in the jocks room weren't too amused. The other races were all won by individual riders. Nobody had a double, so he's 3 wins ahead of everybody currently, and we'll see how that streak continues. But, you know, he's a very good rider, and his brother Jose is a good rider, and those guys, they teamed up for a nice exacta yesterday, ran 1-2, and it's going to be a great fight here for the jockey's crown. We have a very strong riding colony here, and, you know, some of the older guys like Johnny Velasquez, he's kind of slowing down on the amount of races that he rides, which is probably a good thing. He's being more selective of the races, and Angel Cordero, you know, is so good at ferreting out winners in stakes races and that type of thing. So, you know, he's probably not as much of a factor as he used to be, but you can never count him out. Because he rides so many good horses that he can be a little sneaky. But the younger guys who are riding, you know, almost riding the card every day, they're going to be tough. And they got Florent Giroux is here this year, and he's a difference maker in races, a very, very talented rider. He's going to be a new face here. I'm hoping maybe some of the fans don't know who he is, and we might get a little extra point or two in the odds on Florent Giroux, but especially in the turf races, he's tough. But he can ride any race. He's a very good rider.
You mentioned Hall of Famer John Velasquez. We're going to hear from Saratoga's all-time leading rider coming up later in the program. We had a chance to catch up with him yesterday morning here at Saratoga, and Johnny spent, 10 or 12 minutes with us talking about what it's like coming back here now in his 26th consecutive Saratoga meet, what it's like coming back here as the elder statesman, and what responsibility that brings with it. And he's going to tell you all about that coming up right around 9 o'clock Eastern time this morning. Larry Colmus last year had the opportunity to become NYRA's full-time announcer. He had the chance to come to Saratoga and call for the very first time, and he did it, of course, 1 year ago. And yesterday, the anniversary, I had a chance to sit down with him. I had a visit with him the other day, and you're going to hear that interview coming up after our first commercial break. Your brother, Bongo Bob Fell, back in action again today in the Grade 1 Diana with the morning line favorite, Miss Temple City. And he's going to be with us at 8:35 Eastern time. Looking forward to catching up with him.
Yeah, well, he's the breeder of Miss Temple City.
Yeah.
And very proud of her. She's a tremendous filly, grade one winner now, and she made the cover of the Saratoga special. So I tweeted out earlier. It's like being on the cover of the Rolling Stone, really, when you're in horse racing and you make the cover of the Saratoga special with a horse you bred, you know you've made it big, and so that's really cool.
You know you've made it when. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
My favorite Sean Clancy piece in the Saratoga special from years ago.
Really?
You know you've made it when.
There you go.
I'll never forget it. Saratoga not the only place with big-time racing this afternoon. Of course, Del Mar on the West Coast, where the turf meets the surf, going to feature a little horse by the name of California Chrome in a big race this afternoon, JT.
Yeah, a little horse by the name of California Chrome and a big horse by the name of Dortmund. yeah, that's going to be a hell of a race. Looking forward to that one. We got to find a restaurant with a television or eat at home tonight or something because we don't want to miss that one. That's going to be quite the matchup. So looking forward to that race. A lot of Chromies around the country are very, very excited at a fever pitch for this race today.
Yeah, we're going to hear from his trainer, Alan Sherman, coming up at the end of the show today, right around 9:45 Eastern. He'll join us live from California to tell us about the big horse, California Chrome, and how things have gone since taking the Dubai World Cup. Boy, that seems like a lifetime ago, but it was only earlier this year that California Chrome pulled off that feat. So we'll hear from Alan coming up later in the program as well. So a very busy program, a lot of things to get to. You're going to hear a special tribute that we put together to trainer Tom McCarthy, who passed away this Thursday at the age of 82 following a battle with melanoma. Really, really super person and really just a sweet guy. And you're going to hear a tribute to him coming up in the second half of the program as well. So stay with us. This is the Equine Forum presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Kentucky Downs kicks off a unique five-day all-grass race meet in September. Live racing September 3rd, 8th, 10th, 11th, and 15th. And the stakes are high with $7.8 million in purses over the 5 days, an average of $1.56 million each day. Kentucky Breds will run for maiden special weight purses of $130,000 and allowance purses of $145,000. Maidens not bred in Kentucky will compete for $58,000 with top allowance for non-Kentucky Breds at $67,000. Learn more at KentuckyDowns.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Adina Springs Stallion Awesome Again has proven to be a breed-shaping stallion, the sire of 14 Grade 1 winners.
Octave on the outside, three of them going to hit the wire together. Hysterical Lady, Ginger Punch to win it, Ginger Punch won it.
9 millionaires, including 5 multi-millionaires.
Game on, dude, going to write his way into the history books. Game on, dude, and Mike Smith have won the Santa Anita Handicap.
And he remains the only Breeders' Cup Classic winner to sire a Breeders' Cup Classic winner.
Ghost Zephyr kicking clear, and Ghost Zephyr is pulling away impressively.
Awesome Again's lifetime progeny earnings are nearly $80 million, with average earnings per runner over $106,000. And he's the broodmare sire of 53 stakes winners. Sons of Awesome Again at stud in Kentucky include Ghost Sapper, Painter, and Oxbow. Learn more about Awesome Again by visiting AdinaStallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, with the yearling sales fast approaching, we offer Fall of the Hammer coverage to buyers for their auction purchases.
Why is Fall of the Hammer so important?
When the auctioneer drops the gavel and the buyer signs a sale slip, ownership transfers. There is an immediate exposure to the buyer for the purchase price. By calling our office prior to the sale, we can arrange for immediate protection so there is no gap in coverage.
Are there any other exposures?
Absolutely. There is liability exposure in the event the yearling should cause bodily injury or property damage to others. An equine owner's liability policy will provide just the right coverage. It's stuff like this that keeps me awake at night.
Thanks, Joe, for speaking with us today. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Fox Rules on the inside. To the outside comes Beyond Empire. Beyond Empire has taken the lead. Royal Posse runs at him, and here comes Sea Raven on the far outside. Final 16th, Royal Posse, Sea Raven. These two coming down to the wire in the spa opener, and here's Sea Raven to win it. And then it was Royal Posse, followed by Beyond Empire, and fleeing was fourth. In the first race at Saratoga.
An enthusiastic Larry Colmus with the call of the opening day first race last year. And, of course, that was his first call here at the Spa. Remember, we told you at the top of the show that Larry became the full-time announcer here in New York last April. It was April 1st of last year that he called his first race as the announcer at NYRA. Came back here July 24th with that call at Saratoga. And for a kid, Jude, that started calling races at Bowie back in 1985, that was a very special moment for Larry.
Yeah, Larry absolutely loves his job here at Saratoga. You can tell when you look at the Twitter feed and you see some of his tweets about how excited he is just to be in the booth here at Saratoga. And we went to dinner with him last night, and he was describing, you know, looking at the races and how even though he's lower here, it's easier to pick up horses here that are making moves as opposed to Belmont Park, where it's a little bit more difficult. And he just loves, I think he loves the whole town. He loves the racing here. And it is a great place to hang out. And especially if you have a chance to spend every day at the races. I mean, who wouldn't love that?
He's Jude Feld. I'm Mike Penna. You're listening to the Equine Forum presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And earlier this week, I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with Mr. Larry Colmus.
When you think back on that day last year, July 24th, what goes through your mind?
It was such a terrific thrill for me because it had been something that I had thought about for years. You know, I had been to Saratoga so many times as a fan. You go to, you know, the track and you go walk around that town, and it's just the greatest place around. And I always dreamed that maybe one day it would happen and that I could actually be the guy that could call those races. And when Tom Durkin stepped down and I became that guy, it was an unbelievable thrill. And then to be actually that day coming along and doing it was amazing. And I kept that tradition alive that Tom always did with having the fans help out in the first race and they're off at Saratoga. And it was pretty neat because I'd been watching that for years, just being at Monmouth Park, and always liked it.
Tell me about walking into the track that morning.
I came early that morning because it was I had to do a bunch of radio interviews. I think it was like 8 in the morning or something like that. And the place is already packed with people, watching the morning workout show and putting stuff on their picnic tables so that they'd have it ready for the afternoon. And it was a pretty surreal experience because it was something that, again, I had been looking forward to for years, and it was time for it to happen. And everyone just so nice. It's so different from any other track. You know, you go into most racetracks, and the track announcer is someone that people don't even know what he looks like. And nobody, you could walk around, and, you know, even Belmont's kind of like that. You don't even really talk to too many people. You walk right into Saratoga, and people start asking to take their picture with you. And it's just a neat thing. It's just such a racing place in a racing town that it's great.
Larry Colmus is the man who calls the Triple Crown. You call the Breeders' Cup. Last year you called the Triple Crown winner with American Pharoah. I can't imagine there were any butterflies or any nerves for Larry Colmus, were there?
Opening day at Saratoga, a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I think calling the Triple Crown helped because when I came in to Saratoga, I was replacing a guy that was bigger than life in Tom Durkin. And he was huge in New York, but he was even bigger at Saratoga because that was the place where, you know, people really got into it. And he had just become such a fabric of that place. And being the guy that would be the next guy after Tom Durkin was not an easy thing to be. But calling that Triple Crown, I think, gave me some sort of more recognition. And I don't know if credibility is the right word, but more recognition so that people knew who I was. And it made the transition a lot better. But that morning and leading up to that first race, there were some butterflies. It was more of just the whole excitement of being there than anything.
What's different coming back here for year number two?
I don't know. It seems a little bit different. I remember last year, like I said, I was doing radio shows early in the morning. I was stopping at all these different radio booths. This guy wants you. This guy wants you. Nobody wants me. Just you. It's just you now. You know, I'm like the forgotten guy.
Thank goodness for me.
Yeah. I guess it's the sophomore thing. Been there, done that. But that's fine because that's going to leave me a little bit more opportunity to prepare for the races. And there seems to be at least so far a lot fewer other things to concern myself with.
They say there's no substitute for experience. Is there anything different about your approach coming here to Saratoga, having already been there, done that, so to speak?
I guess maybe a little bit, because leading into it last year, I kind of knew what to expect because I had, you know, been here so many times. But there were things that came up along the way that angles, different angles to deal with the race calls and just the overall body of work that is involved with that job. Lots of announcements and things going on. Having done it already once probably gives me an idea of what's ahead, and I don't think it'll be, you know, too much different this year than last year, so that'll be good.
How about some of the highlights from last year's meet? What are some of the things that are always going to stand out to you?
Well, there's a few things. The one for me personally was the opportunity, which I never got during the Triple Crown, to meet American Pharoah, which was the neatest thing. The day before his race in the Travers, when he had his morning exercise, and the place was full of people. I think, 18,000 people showed up that morning. I've never seen anything quite like it. But when it was over, Bob Baffert met me in the winner's circle, and he said, "You're coming over, right?" I said, "Yeah, I've been wanting to do this." And so I made my way over to the barn in a golf cart, and Jim Barnes is walking American Pharoah around, cooling him off after his exercise, and I'm just standing there in the middle of this with Bob Baffert. And then he says, "Okay, it's picture time," and Bob just gives me American Pharoah's lead, and I give my cell phone to Jill Baffert. She's taking pictures of us with the cell phone, and all these photographers are around taking photos of me holding American Pharoah. And I'm like, is this really happening? I'm holding the Triple Crown winner. Of course, he got beat in the Travers. And right before the Breeders' Cup, Jim Barnes asked me if I wanted to take a picture with him. I said, absolutely not. Like, I don't want to jinx you. And he really appreciated that. So that was a huge highlight. Obviously, the first race of the meet, the Travers itself. The Whitney was amazing, but I think the other thing that stands out was Jess's Dreams race, which was the most incredible thing you've ever seen. A horse by Curlin out of Rachel Alexandra just walks out of the starting gate a mile behind the rest of the field, that everyone has been waiting for this horse for so long, and everybody's like, oh, no, you know, he's no good. You know, this is not going to work out well. And then all of a sudden he just comes like a wild horse and just blows by the field and was the most exciting thing. And I think that was definitely in the top five, and there were a whole lot of highlights.
You're a bit of a historian when it comes to thoroughbred racing, and you mentioned keeping the tradition with that first racing thing, and they're off at Saratoga and having the crowd participate. I know that was very important to you. When you're in the announcer's booth and you're looking down at the crowd that's here on the apron, you're looking out at that pond and the canoe that's there, then painted in the colors of the Travers winner, how cognizant are you of your place in history and your place in the history of thoroughbred racing being the announcer at Saratoga?
Oh, it's an honor and a privilege for sure. I mean, it's to me, the greatest racetrack in America, if not the world. And to be the guy that gets to call those races is just an absolute thrill. And yeah, I mean, I've been there so many times as a fan, and I know, you know, down in the box seats, there's all these, you know, big owners that from around the world that are there. And then you've got, you know, all the families in the picnic area and just the different types of, you know, walks of life that just converge into one place for all one purpose to enjoy themselves for a day at Saratoga. It just makes the place so much different from any other place. And to me, it's just to be a part of that is just so cool.
Do you ever take the time to sit back and reflect upon your career, where you started, how far you've come, and where you are now?
Yeah, every once in a while. You know, I think in the present, you see things differently. You know, and every once in a while you take things for granted, like, oh yeah, well, I gotta go to work today, you know. And you gotta go to Belmont, dude. It's pretty cool. I mean, imagine if you were, you know, thinking ahead from 30 years back and say, oh man, I've gotta go to work at Belmont and then I'm headed to Saratoga and then I'm gonna call the Triple Crown and I'm gonna call the Breeders' Cup, and you're like, what? It's like, this is all going to really happen. And, you know, the day of, you don't think that too much. You just think, you know, okay, what do I have to do today? This is, you know, my life. This is what I'm doing. But every once in a while, you do have to take that step back and say, holy, you know what? You know, this is actually happening. And it's something that I could have never imagined happening.
I don't know if I can think of any other race that might be out there that you would want to call. I'm sure there probably are, but what's still left on the Larry Colmus bucket list of things to accomplish in the sport of thoroughbred racing?
Well, I definitely want to call the Sandy Lane Gold Cup in Barbados for HRRN.
We can make that happen. We'll do our best.
Well, outside of that, I don't know. I think that I'm pretty satisfied as far as what I've been able to do here in the States. It would be cool to eventually be part. I know that NBC's going to be doing some Royal Ascot stuff, and I don't think for the first year or so that they're going to be, you know, sending me over there, but that's certainly something that I would love to do, call a race from over there, or, you know, something like the Arc de Triomphe or one of those great races would be amazing to be a part of, or even any race from Europe would be fun, just as a change of pace. But yeah, it's worked out pretty well, and I think that I've pretty much done a lot more than I ever thought I would do.
Yeah, well, over the next month, you'll have to settle for the Whitney, the Alabama, and the Travers. Not a bad consolation prize.
Yeah,
we'll
be okay with that. I think that'll be fine.
Well done. Enjoy the meet.
All right, thanks.
Larry Colmus, the voice of racing here with NYRA and, of course, at Saratoga, and the voice of the Triple Crown, the Breeders' Cup. Judy does it all, and you heard me ask him that question at the end of the interview about his bucket list. What on earth could Larry Colmus still have left to accomplish? And, you know, maybe the Sandy Lane Gold Cup in Barbados. He's more than welcome to come down there with us, and if we can convince them to, let Dean Springer step aside for a moment, but that's going to be a hard sell. And then, of course, then you have the races at Ascot next year. So pretty cool stuff from Larry.
Yeah, well, you know, once he mentioned the Sandy Lane Gold Cup, I was on board.
Yeah.
Just mention that. Yeah. Fantastic life. And, you know, I've talked to Larry about this a few times, but he used to call the races at Golden Gate Fields, and he called the California Oaks when I won it with Freya Stark, and it was one of the best days of my life. And I used to when I used to go into a losing streak or whatever, when I was training, I'd throw that tape in there and listen to Larry's call, and it would instantly, you know, brighten me up and realize that good things do happen. And he's been tremendous with not only people like me that appreciate his calls, but with younger people too that want to be. You actually reached out to him at one time when you were a kid to, you know, see if he could help you, and he did.
He did, yeah. Yeah, I've known Larry a long time, and great to see him where he is today. He does a phenomenal job here at Saratoga, and again, you'll hear his calls throughout the entire meet, and of course, this afternoon on our coverage of the Grade 1 Diana, beginning 5:30 Eastern Time here on the network. You can catch that coverage beginning at SiriusXM 93 and streaming worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. All of our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast presented by Visit Barbados Sunrisestallions.org. And, of course, the Travers coverage also sponsored by Sunrise Stallions. We're going to get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment presented by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When we come back, we're going to hear from bloodstock agent Bob Feld, who is also the breeder of Grade 1 Diana favorite Miss Temple City. You're going to hear from Hall of Famer John Velasquez in the second half of the program, as well as trainer Alan Sherman talking about California Chrome and our very special tribute to trainer Tom McCarthy. But this is your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On September 27, 1947, over a distance of 1¼ miles out of the chute at the top of Belmont Park's backstretch, the long-awaited match race between Warren Wright's Armed and the King Ranch's Assault was about to unfold before an enormous throng on hand at the Grand Lady of Long Island as Belmont was off the monikered. This was anticipated, expected, and billed to be, rightly so, I might add, a classic confrontation of the turf. The two owners, Warren Wright and Robert Kleberg, agreed that the $100,000 prize to go to the eventual victor would be given to charity, and it was a non-betting race. At Belmont, there was a bell which lifted its melancholy clang over the walking ring just before the horses for each race were to be filed out for the post parade. And just before this match race, it seemed to those in attendance to sound a sadder note than was usually the case. It was as a distant peal that may well have been of the selfsame import of which Hemingway wrote, quote, "Ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." A chill, brittle wind howled in from the northeast, bringing the starkness of the foreboding North Atlantic down across the 1,000 miles of ocean from the barren Arctic Circle. One of the horses responded to its sweep against his legs and through his mane and tail as he danced impatiently during the long parade to post for the start in the remote corner of Belmont's back stretch. That selfsame wind brought no solace to the other combatant, for he was to run this race on courage alone to fulfill a promise that had been made and was herein to be honored. He was not the same marvelous thoroughbred he had been during a brilliant career on the racetrack. He was somewhat lame and sore, each step bringing a twinge of pain. His heart and mind told him of the task at hand, but his body throbbed in protest. Armed, the great handicap champion older horse, and Assault, the 1946 Triple Crown winner, went to the starting gate. Somehow in the gate, Armed nicked himself on one quarter and left a scratch that scattered blood and a spray on his legs as he ran, but he broke in front as the starter sent them on their way. As the two champions loped down the long, long run to the far turn, it was Armed by four open lengths, with still half a mile to run. Assault, under the highly capable, renowned Heady Eddie Arcaro, reached back for an attempt at one of those patented late charges, and through the next two furlongs he cut the gap to his rival to but a single length by the time they reached the quarter pole. As they straightened away for the final two-furlong run to the wire, it appeared to the roaring throng that Assault had put dead even with Armed. That was to be the last hurrah for the Clubfoot Comet, the great King Ranch standard-bearer. Assault had given it everything he had, but on this day it was not enough. Arcaro, recognizing a lost cause, eased his mount up in the final 16th, and Armed cruised home a winner by eight open lengths in a final time of 2:02.4. Assault, the club-footed darling of the racing public, had been given it his all, but had for the last time faced a relentless challenge of the racetrack. After the race, while cooling out on the backstretch, his trainer Max Hirsch looked at the game champion and with a wistful look in his eyes said, quote, "There's never been another horse like him." An observer who had taken in that dramatic scene turned while leaving to glance back for one final look at Assault, who was standing with his big soft eyes blinking in the autumn twilight, and softly and fondly said, "So long, champ." It was indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus Store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus Store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family.
If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Millridge is offering three quality yearlings by leading sires at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga Sale, two by Candy Ride and one by Uncle Mo, with the dam side providing every opportunity to raise a racehorse. Since 2005, Millridge has offered 51 yearlings, with 64% winners, 4.5% of those grade ones or grade twos. Millridge has raised or sold 33 grade one winners since 2000, including seven Breeders' Cup winners and five Horse of the Years. Visit Millridge.com to learn more. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Power.
Frosted's 10 in front. Frosted is absolutely rubbed in the mat mile.
Passion.
California Grown laboring late. Here's the wire. And it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Performance.
It was Creator and Destined right on the wire. And Erad Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Gainesway Stallion Tap It. A two-time champion sire and once again number one in 2016. More than $3 million clear on the general sire list. With 21 graded stakes horses and 8 graded stakes winners this year, including Belmont Stakes Hero and Gainesway Sales graduate Creator. And Frosted, a 14.5 length winner of the Grade 1 Met Mile. 13 yearlings by Tappet have been cataloged to the Fasig Tipton Saratoga Sale this August. Colts, fillies, graded stakes winners at any distance. Tap It, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Miss Temple City and Reload swinging up to the outside. Tourist looks for running room down toward the inside. Moves up within two lengths of the lead, but has to catch Heart to Heart coming off the far turn. Miss Temple City second, Tourist third. Reload is in fourth, Shining Copper is fifth. Miss Temple City is striding forward, coming after Heart to Heart. Final furlong of the Makers 46 Mile. Miss Temple City has taken the lead. Miss Temple City to take down the field and beat the boys in the Makers 46 Mile for Dreeden Van Dyke.
Kurt Becker with the call of that Makers 46 at Keeneland, a grade one victory for Miss Temple City, defeating the boys that afternoon in Lexington, Kentucky. She is back in Saratoga this afternoon as the morning line favorite for the grade one Diana. Should be a good one. We're going to have that coverage for you exclusively here on the network beginning 5:30 Eastern time this afternoon, all presented by visitbarbados.org. Barron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld, back with you trackside here at Saratoga. And JT, one quick announcement before we get a chance to talk to the breeder of Miss Temple City. That's your brother, Bob Feld. Want to remind HRN Nation that next Saturday we're here to cover the Jim Dandy, but it is also another milestone for us here because we are debuting HRRN en Español. You're going to hear the Jim Dandy and the Traverse Stakes this meet broadcast in Spanish, coast to coast and worldwide. It's going to be available on our website at horseracingradio.net, and it's going to be available on the website of host Roberto Rodriguez at El Potro Roberto
Com. So a really big deal next Saturday kicking off here on the network.
Yeah, very excited to have those guys on board, and it's another milestone for HRRN. Looking forward to that, and it's been a lot of fun getting ready for those shows.
H-A-R-A-R-A-N-A.
Very nice. Javier Castellano, great Spanish teacher.
So we're on the backside yesterday, Bob, and here comes Javier. Javier is trying to teach me how to say HRRN en Español and do it in Spanish. So I'm getting there.
That's good.
Did I get it right?
Did a fine job.
I can't roll my R's like Javier and Johnny, though.
It's sounding better than your Echo Petrero. A lot better than that, I'll tell you that.
Is it supposed to be Potro? That's great. Bob Feld with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, live from Breeder of Miss Temple City. But Bob, boy, any better place to be than Saratoga right now?
It's amazing. When we drove in, all the roads were closed coming to the track. I thought, well, maybe there's a parade I don't know about. And turns out they had a 5K going up East Street, and you couldn't get to the track as quick as I wanted to. But I've never been here opening weekend. It's quite the event. I was downtown last night a little bit, and the crowds are amazing.
Yeah, it's spectacular. We heard the call from Kurt Becker of the Makers 46 at Keeneland. Of course, since then, Miss Temple City's been a bit of a globetrotter. What's been going on with her over the past couple of months or so?
Well, you know, we're big fans of Royal Ascot. My son Sean went over there a couple of years ago before Miss Temple City arrived on the scene. And I know we all know that Grand Motion, that's one of his bucket lists to win a race over there. So we're on board with that bucket list also. We want to win a race over there. So we went back, you know, last year, and she ran real well. And we told Graham right away, hey, if we can do it again next year, let's do it. So it was always in the game plan to go back and try and win both of our first race at Royal Ascot. And she ran very well, but, you know, came up a little bit short.
I was reading this morning in the Saratoga Special, of which she's on the cover, that Graham didn't realize that no horse in the last 18 years has won with a penalty. And he said he didn't take as much of that into consideration as he should. Coming off a Grade 1 win, she really was up against it. She had to give way to a very talented field, and the ground was maybe a little softer than she liked. And he mentioned the undulating ground going up and downhill, a little different from her than a flat turf course. So all in all, when you take all those things into consideration, you see she only got beat 3 lengths for the whole thing. She ran an incredible race.
It may have been one of her best races, really. It's kind of like I feel Zenyatta's best race was her loss. You know, that was the greatest effort she ever put in, was the day she got beat. Miss Temple City, I think both starts in Royal Ascot were similar. She ran a huge effort. I also believe it was the first time in nearly 18 or 20 years it was soft going at Royal Ascot. It rarely rains in June, so it was just it's horse racing. You can't predict the elements, and we picked that race out, you know, months in advance. And again, we were only going to go over there if she was doing right, and we are only running in this race if she was doing right. So, you know, she's lightly raced this year. That was only her second start. I think she got a lot out of it. She seems to be breezing better than coming out of that race than going into the race. So I think she got a lot out of that race.
You know, everybody that's in this sport and in this game like this and compete in races like this, could you ever imagine when you started planning out this mating that you'd end up here in a race like the Diana and go to Ascot and all these different places with Miss Temple City?
It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, again, I'm one for one Grade 1 winners breeding a mare. You know, it's incredible. I couldn't breed a Grade 1 winner if I tried another 1,000 times. I know the odds. I know how it works. It's just it's been an absolute dream run. It's still, you know, kind of a pinch me thing, you know. And I joke with people. I say, you know, we go to Royal Ascot as if I'm a sportsman, like as if I'm, you know, a multi-billionaire that can just bop my horse, or, you know, over to Europe. And it's just, we love the game. We love all the, you know, traditions of the game. You can't get more traditional than a 300-year meet. So we're game for all that stuff.
I thought the Queen recruited you for the karaoke.
I wish. I would love to volunteer that job. It's a lot of fun. It's amazing. I'm telling you, I don't know how many thousands of people fit in that paddock at Royal Ascot, but whatever the maximum is, they're all there, and they're on every level of the grandstand singing karaoke after the races. And I tell people it's a Jimmy Buffett concert with horse racing. I mean, everyone is there to party and have fun, and everyone is having fun.
Were you expecting to be the morning?
She should be, but, you know, whatever. You know, there's a little more pressure, I think, when you're favorite. I mean, she's 3-1. It's not like she's 6-5.
Yeah.
I understand, you know, There's obviously a lot of nice fillies in here, and when you throw in the Chad Browns and the Todd Pletchers, that shortens the odds a little bit. But, yeah, I think she's the only grade one winner in the race. And, again, she's carrying high weight because she'll be penalized in theory for a long time. But you know what? I'll take that grade one all day long, and they can penalize her because it's all I wanted her to do is win a grade one after I thought we got a little bit cheated in the QE2 when I thought we were lengths the best and got really interfered with badly. So I'm happy for her to get the grade one. I'm ecstatic for myself. And now the rest, she owes us nothing, and we're just going to have some fun with her.
Is she really ran well in the Makers 46. I mean, it was a dream run, really. She had a great trip. Drayden Van Dyke really seems to get along with her. What do you think that chemistry is?
You know, I feel like she's two for two with Drayden. I mean, she fired two big shots with him. I think Drayden has the best hands, for sure, in California, maybe in the country. And, you know, Miss Temple City's matured a lot. She used to pull. If you watch her races, she'd come out of the gate and start pulling, and her head would go up, and, you know, she didn't relax. And Drayden's gotten her relaxed both times he rode her. They just seem to really fit together. I'm not a big jockey guy. I think when you get a rider that's hot like Ortiz or a rider that's in a slump, it makes a difference. But I think the other 90% of the jockeys, I call it horse racing, not jockey racing. People always ask, who's riding? Because when I handicap, people say, who's riding the horse? You're like, I don't even look, really, because the horses do the running. If it's jockey racing, I'd clock the jocks in the morning and see who's the fastest jockey. But every now and then there's a combo that really works, and I really feel in my heart they really get along. And the cool thing is Drayden absolutely adores the filly as much as we do. He loves this filly.
Do you still get butterflies when they're going into the gate?
You know, I try. It's such an emotional thing, and I try not to think of the race at all until they get onto the track or close to the gate. But this week, you know, with the grade one at Saratoga, we've had people make comments, and you get butterflies, like, instantaneously. You know, it's a little, I'm not going to say overwhelming, but it's an amazing.
She made the cover of the Saratoga special. She made the cover of the Racing Form today. It's not like the Madden video game jinx, is it?
No, we hope not. I mean, yeah. I made the cover of the Racing Form and won the Chula Vista at Del Mar, so I'm not worried about that stuff.
A legendary trainer.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. I was that day, that's for sure. And people still talk about that race. They can't believe I won that race.
How about for you? What's it like watching baby brother have this kind of success?
It's unbelievable. And, you know, he includes me in it, which is even more unbelievable. You know, we worked so hard when we were younger, and it was a struggle. And, you know, Bob and I, we've been together since I was 16 and he was 11. And,
as far as going to the racetrack.
Yeah.
He's known me for 54 years.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. We've yeah. really been together.
I've
yeah.
only known him 54 years.
Not in a weird way.
Yeah. Not in a weird way.
As Doug O'Neill
would say. But, you know, I mean, you figure you change the guy's diapers and now he's breeding grade one winners. It's cool. I mean, it's unbelievably cool. It's been great for our whole family and our friends. Everybody's embraced Miss Temple City. And, you know, if she wins today, it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, it's emotional. I think of my dad a lot. You know, $2 better, but, you know, he loved the game.
Yeah, really special if Miss Temple City can get there. Visiting with Bloodstock agent Bob Feld, of course, the brother of the pontiff Jude Feld and the breeder of Miss Temple City. The dam is Glittering Tax, who is an R-Tax mare. Why Temple City? What led to that decision?
Well, you'll realize I'm not Tessio when I tell you the story. And I will never tell anyone I'm Tessio when I tell you the story. But it was really is my son. And we'll throw another Feld in the mix. We'll have a Feld fest here. But, you know, Sean was working at Spencer for the time. I grew up in Temple City. Wayne Hughes is a very close personal friend of my uncle's. So we met Wayne at an early stage in our horse racing career. So when I happened to be at the track when Temple City broke his maiden, I looked down in the winner's circle. I'm thinking, oh, my God, that is – could be the most beautiful horse I've ever seen, and he is a gorgeous horse. So when Sean called me and goes, hey, we have this deal, the whole Share of the Upside was kind of new, and most of the Share of the Upsides were breed a mare twice, qualify for a lifetime breeding right. He was once, and, you know, he was Dynaformer, which he's not known as a sire of sires, but Dynaformer's career was coming close to an end, and I thought, you know what, for $5,000, I'll breed one mare one time. All I did it was for the lifetime breeding right. I didn't do it to sit on the radio show before the Diane. for this thing. So we're at the sale now in November, and we need a mayor. And Mark Toothaker walks up to Sean and I, who now works at Spendthrift. Ironically, he wasn't working for Spendthrift. And I he, what are you guys doing? I said, I need to buy a mare to buy, you know, breed to Miss Temple City. He says, well, you know, basically I'll go halves with you. So we're just talking, and Sean looks up, and there's a mare in the ring for, and it's stuck at 2,000, and she's in foal to Tis Wonderful. Well, Tis Wonderful's first crop was weanlings that year, and they were averaging around 25,000. So I'm thinking, shoot, I mean, the baby's got to be worth more than 2,000. So Mark walks in and bids three, someone bids four, they bid five, and Mark bids six, and we get the mare. So now I'm in partnership with Mark Toothaker, and I own this mare. We're going to breed the Miss Temple. We're going to breed the Temple City. And in the meantime, Mark had some business things going on, and he needed to sell some holdings. So we sold the baby for 25, which was the average, as a weanling. He sold it privately for us, and he ended up being Paganol, who was a $250,000 two-year-old in training, and is a very nice horse, who won the first race at Churchill Downs on Derby Day last year. And then I bred the mare to Temple City, and I was sole breeder because Mark had – I bought Mark out of the mare. He wanted out of the mare also. And there she is. And then, you know, now I have a new partner. The Judy family's partners with me on the mare, and her half sisters by a Bullet Train. We just watched Breeze at Fair Hill yesterday. So that's basically it was dumb ass luck.
I'd rather be lucky than good any day.
That's right? For sure. Believe me, I've been in this game long enough. I'd much rather be lucky than good.
Well, as John Ammerman says, Botfeld is one of the great guarded secrets we have in life. And hopefully Miss Temple City is as well. Good luck this afternoon.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All right, go get him, Bob Feld. Here on HRN, we're going to get to a quick break. We will come back with more from Saratoga. We'll get you set for a busy second half of the program that includes Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 and 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
Ed's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, the most expensive yearling from the great Pioneer of the Nile's debut crop and a top-class juvenile winning the Grade 2 Nashua before his memorable battle with Eclipse Champion Honor Code in the Remsen. At 3, Cairo Prince was simply sensational in the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes, making him the early book favorite for the Kentucky Derby.
Cairo Prince has run away! Cairo Prince and Luis Saez with an emphatic win in the Holy Bull!
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince. Think about it.
A two-year-old debut winner.
Danza and Permanent Captain streaking under the line together, and Danza wins by a hard-fought half length.
A Grade 1 winning and classic place three-year-old.
Danza, in a sparkling performance, is making short work of the Arkansas Derby field. Danza is the boss as he wins by five.
Danza, new for 2016 at Spendthrift Farm. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Rachel's Valentina is in second.
but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field.
Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and champion Songbird, the daughter of Darley Stallion Medagliadoro, looks to run her record to a perfect 9-4-9 tomorrow in the Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks right here at Saratoga. And she is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medagliadoro is ranked among the nation's elite sires once again in 2016 by number of Grade 1 winners, graded winners, and black type winners. In addition to champion Songbird, Medagliadoro is the sire of 2016 Grade 1 winner Emshuish, a Grade 1 winner this year, and a winner at the highest level on both dirt and turf, and one of 14 total Grade 1 winners produced by Medagliadoro. To learn more about Medagliadoro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Parnelli turns for home. Mr. Jennings right alongside. Unitarian third with one furlong to go. Parnelli still got something left after that soft opening quarter mile. On the outside, Unitarian trying to mow him down. Johnny Velasquez looking for a record run here with Unitarian. Parnelli trying to hang in there. Unitarian keeps on coming. It's going to be very close, and it's going to be Johnny Velasquez. 150 years of Saratoga history, and with Unitarian, he becomes the winningest jockey at Saratoga. Parnelli narrowly beaten.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Tom Durkin with the call of John Velasquez winning his 694th race at Saratoga. Now, that was back in 2013. Last year, Johnny hit the 800 win mark in terms of victories here at the Spa. He is the all-time leading rider in the history of thoroughbred racing here in Saratoga, and you're going to hear from him coming up in just a few minutes at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Yesterday on the backside here in Saratoga. Don't forget, Saturdays at Saratoga is back every single Saturday starting this afternoon with the Grade 1 Diana. It kicks off at 5:30 Eastern time. Myself, Jude, and the little A, Acacia Courtney, will have all that coverage for you. 5:30 to 6:30 Eastern. You can tune in on Sirius XM Channel 93 and streaming worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. Of course, all that Saturdays at Saratoga coverage throughout the meet presented by visitbarbados.org. You can visit horseracingradio.net for a complete Saturdays at Saratoga schedule.
Absolutely. This place looks like a golf tournament gone bad.
Yeah. Let me see. One, two. What the hell is that in front of us, by the way? That's not a golf cart. What is
that?
Well,
I don't know. It looks
Tweet out a picture of that. We need to get a picture of this thing.
Very cosmic looking.
It's almost like something you would take deer hunting.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, like 10, a ranger. 11. There's 12 golf carts and whatever this thing is.
Who gets to drive that one?
I don't know.
What is it?
That looks like that somebody very prominent owns that.
All right, we're going to tweet this picture out at HRN on Twitter, and if you can identify this whatever it is, you let us know. I'm sure it is some type of golf cart, but it looks like a cross between a golf cart and like a ranger that you would take deer hunting.
Yeah, there's no place for your clubs on that thing, so it's not a golf cart.
No.
But it looks like there's a cooler on the back.
Yeah, there's a place for your beer. The heck with the clubs.
It doesn't belong to Roger Atfield, does it?
Yeah, you should see all these golf. I mean, really, we should get a picture of all these. We're going to do that, too. We'll get a picture of all these golf carts here, and we'll this is Saturdays at Saratoga. This is what it looks like at 8:57 in the morning trackside, and trust me, the place is still a buzz. I mean, you have so many kids out here with their parents and people that are holding up cell phones taking pictures of all the horses continuing to work out. Just a couple of wispy white clouds now up against that blue backdrop. A gorgeous afternoon or morning, and going to be a gorgeous afternoon here in Saratoga. Temperatures on their way to the low 90s. Plenty of sunshine. Should be fast and firm for this 11 race program.
Yeah, it's a very good card. It's going to be exciting days racing, and this place will be rocking.
You know, we talked about the Diana, and I mentioned we're going to hear from Johnny V coming up in just a little bit. Now, Johnny is tied for most wins in the Diana. He is not the all-time leader in that category. He's tied with 4 victories in the race with 3 other riders, including Hall of Famer Jerry Bailey And Eddie Belmonte, who he told us, you're going to hear this in the interview, Jude, he told us that that was his teacher growing up in the jockey school in Puerto Rico. How cool is that?
Yeah, I know. Eddie Belmonte was a great rider. He's one of my favorites when I was a kid. And we should have talked to Bob about him because Bob knows about Eddie Belmonte, too, and just a very talented guy. And it was interesting to find out. And Johnny didn't know that about Eddie Belmonte, that he had won the Diana four times. So that's pretty cool.
He didn't know he was tied for the record in that category.
You didn't know that either, yeah.
Hey, you think he wants to win a little bit more on Receptive this afternoon now?
Yeah, probably. I hope he rides a good race today. He will. Receptive looks very tough. She got a nice lightweight in there, too. Pretty cool.
And we told you that Diana is one of two graded stakes on the docket today. The other one, the third race, is the Grade 3 Sanford, which is only a five-horse field of two-year-olds going to the post. That race, a big part of the reason that Saratoga has become known as the Graveyard of Champions. You remember it was in 1919, in that running of the Sanford, that the great Man of War suffered his only career defeat to a horse by the name of?
Affirmed.
No, what?
I don't know.
You weren't even paying attention. You're sitting here looking around at the racetrack. 1919, Man of War defeated
1919
by
upset.
Yeah.
1919. Affirmed. I didn't hear the 19. Well, you know, people accuse me of being old enough to watch Man of War run, but I was distracted by the loose horse siren here.
I'll tell you this. Okay,
I can't find the loose horse, which really irritated. The old horse trainer in me kicked in, and I'm like trying to find the loose horse. And
I was just like background noise to you at that point, right?
Were.
I was like the Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
That was it.
Well, we also have top of the stretch.
Yeah, the
Baroness. Oh, no, he's still running around. There he is.
Yeah.
He's going the wrong way down by the quarter pole, just having a good old time. Now he's going the right way. It's always very dangerous when a horse gets loose on the track, especially after the break like it is now, because horses are breezing, and you never know what a loose horse is going to do. They could change direction at any time. So everybody's on pins and needles, and now he's going back the wrong way. This is what we don't want. We don't want him going the wrong way.
No, because there's horses coming toward that direction. Of course, the sirens are going, so people are aware there is a loose horse out there, and everybody taking every precaution now. You don't see any horses breezing at this point or anything.
Yeah, we hope not.
Yeah.
We hope nobody breaks off to work. But,
right, yeah. Yeah, but the outriders look like they're in the position now to apprehend this loose horse, who is, as you said, now going the wrong way, meaning going back up the stretch and just made the other right-hand turn now into the far turn, and
we should get his name and take him to Barbados. He's very nice going right-handed.
He goes right-handed pretty well, yeah. Bring him the Woodbine, too. You can run him on the turf up at Woodbine,
That's
too,
right.
In some of those races. All right, we do have to get to a quick station ID. We're going to come back with the second half of the program. It kicks off with Hall of Famer John Velasquez. You're going to hear from trainer Alan Sherman talking about California Chrome and a special tribute to trainer Tom McCarthy, who passed away on Thursday. We're back with Hour 2 right after this. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification, and this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together, and Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Brody's Paws at the 16th pole, chased by Kerry Wine. My Man Sam running huge from last, but Brody's Paws in front. Brody's Paws for Luis Saez to win the Toyota Bluegrass.
And it's Mohamed who has taken the lead on the outside. Mohamed to the front, pulling away from Zulu Fellowship is third as Mohamed pulls away.
But Exaggerator is finishing with conviction this afternoon. Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs, rolling on from Saratoga on a gorgeous morning in upstate New York. We are positioned just about 30 yards from that historic main track. Of course, they'll contest so many big races on this track over the course of the next 7 weeks, including the Grade 3 Sanford this afternoon for the two-year-old boys. The Grade 1 Diana will be contested on the
inner turf course here this afternoon, and looking forward to that battle of 10 top fillies and mares. Should be a good one. You heard from breeder Bob Feld in the first half of the program, along with announcer Larry Colmus. If you missed any portion of the show, go back to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast of this show and all of our shows. And don't forget, next Saturday, we're back here with the debut of HRRN en Español. That's right. Spread the word, HRN Nation. Tell all of your Spanish-speaking friends that, hey, you know what? HRN is now providing live racing coverage in Spanish. It begins next Saturday. The Jim Dandy in Spanish on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can learn more by going to horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, and that coverage, by the way, presented by our friends at Gulfstream Park, where they will host the 2017 edition of the Del Caribe.
Yes, the Clásico.
The Clásico.
Del Caribe.
That should be great. Yes. Should be great. So our thanks to Gulfstream for making all of that coverage possible next Saturday. Again, learn more on our website and follow HRRN En Español on Twitter. That's our brand new Twitter feed, HRRN En Español. And of course, you can always follow us at HRRN for our regular Twitter feed as well.
And look, speaking of Gulfstream Park, look who we have in the house, David Fox.
Look at
there he is,
nice
giving us the,
David.
Giving us the Rose Parade wave there.
He's a chauffeur on that golf cart. I love it. He doesn't have to drive his own golf cart. You know you. All right, well, hey, we told you about the Sanford and that being a big race for the two-year-olds this afternoon. Well, the two-year-old program here in Saratoga is second to none, and we start to see so many of the top two-year-olds that make an impact in our sport in races later in races into next year, like the Triple Crown races and the Breeders' Cup. And Uncle Mo, who stands at Ashford in Versailles, Kentucky, you remember him, Jude? It was Uncle Mo and everybody else when we stood here in this very same location and watched Uncle Mo burst onto the scene with a 14-and-a-quarter length maiden win on his way to champion two-year-old honors, and he's now the hottest young sire in the country.
Yeah, I won't forget that race anytime soon. Very impressive, and I was on my phone texting a friend of mine in Great Britain and telling him, you got to watch this race right away. Pull it up as soon as you can. Very impressive performance. And, of course, you know, for a long time it was Uncle Mo and everybody else as far as racing was concerned, too. So horse with a great record and obviously a very important stallion now.
Well, much like Uncle Mo, Shanghai Bobby was an impressive winner of the Hopeful right here at Saratoga on his way to being named champion two-year-old. He has 6 yearlings from his first crop selling at the Saratoga Selected Yearling Sale. That's at the Fasig Tipton Sale Pavilion right across the street on August 8th and 9th. Of course, we'll be there to bring you that coverage presented by Embrace the Race on August 8th and 9th. Competitive Edge, another Ashford stallion, has made his mark at Saratoga as well. You remember Competitive Edge and how impressive he was. Like Uncle Mo, he dominated his maiden by more than 10 lengths and returned to easily win the Hopeful, just like Shanghai Bobby. All those stallions, Shanghai Bobby, Competitive Edge, and Uncle Mo standing at Ashford and Versailles.
Our friends Kerry and Craig Brogdon, who have select sales, they have a Shanghai Bobby that they're very, very pleased with, very high on. So check that one out.
All right, well, we told you that we had the opportunity to visit with Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez yesterday morning on the backside here at Saratoga. And John, the all-time leading rider in the history of Saratoga, and here's what he had to say about being here with that title and looking ahead to this afternoon's Diana.
Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez has won more races at Saratoga Racecourse than any jockey in the history of the sport. First came to Saratoga in 1990, 26 years ago. Can you believe it's been that long, my friend?
It's been a long time. I'm very blessed and you know, to have this career so far. It's been great. From the first year that I came here to now, obviously, it's been great. It was a great experience coming in early when I had the bug. In 1990, and I came with Angel, and I learned all about it and all about Saratoga and how special it was. And it's now to look back and say that I have the most wins in Saratoga. It's definitely special.
Could you ever imagine when you came here in 1990 that this would end up where it has?
Absolutely not. You know, when I came in, I didn't know much about racing, and I was not dreaming that big, let's put it that way. You know, I was just trying to make a living, not only make a living, learn, you know. So I was going through the motions of learning the lingo and the racetrack, everything, the riding. So it was still very, very new to me when I came in 1990. It kind of grew in me. The more I did it, the more I won races, the more competitive I got, the more it's like, oh, I can do this really competitive, actually, and learn from all the jockeys that I, you know, when I came here. Obviously, I was riding with the best. Came to New York, it was Angel, it was Jose Santo, it was Jerry Billy, it was Mike Smith, Rich McGlurry. My God, the list was on and on and on. So it was a great group of guys here in New York. So it was great to come in and learn from all those guys.
Outside of all the wins that you've had here over those 26 years, what's different about John Velasquez as a rider now than when you first came here?
I'm older and wiser. I'm older and wiser. That's about it. You know, I learned so much from the business, and I know what to expect and what not to expect, and anticipate and riding races, and you get a little more patient, you get a little more wiser, basically. You know, it's the experience that you get from all those years. You learn from everybody. You're still learning. I always say that even after all these years, you watch the younger riders and the things they do differently, and you learn from that as well, you know, how they're doing and stuff like that. So, but it's always a learning experience, but I'm obviously much older and wiser now.
You mentioned Angel Cordero Jr., fellow Hall of Famer. He's been a father figure to you since you came here to the United States. And you mentioned coming here with him in 1990. What has it meant to have Angel by your side through this whole journey?
It's been great. I mean, just to come here, and he put that in my head, coming to Saratoga. Actually, the first year I came in, I flew him to Albany from LaGuardia. He says, no, we're going to fly in. We send the cars up, and we fly in, and all he did was talking about Saratoga and how special it was and how the things he's done, you know, for so many years, and explained to me, you know, how hard he worked and how, you know, how long it took him to get to where he was, and then to continue doing what he did year after year after year. That just kind of got into my brain. I mean, that's my first experience, you know, just talking about Saratoga. When I came in, it's like, holy crap, you know. Obviously, the fans, the racing, the very old tradition type of thing, you know. It was great, and it was a great experience, and to have him through my whole career has been a blessing.
What's the key to having the kind of success that you've had for such a long period of time? What's the key to doing that as a jockey?
I don't know, I think persevering and make sure that you still hungry, coming back and trying to do better all the time, trying to make less mistakes than the other guys. Been very blessed with the people that I work with as well, you know, with the trainers and owners who give me an opportunity. When you get that opportunity, try to get the best out of it. You know, that's what I always thought about. You get it, try to do your best and respect that moment. And don't let it get over your head, you know. Just no matter how much success you have, this game will humble you very quickly.
I know when you first came here, you had people that kind of took you under their wing, Angel in particular, but, you know, there were other people that welcomed you into the jockey colony here. Do you kind of see yourself in that position now when some of the younger guys, say like the Ortiz brothers, come into town? Are you kind of in that position now where you're looking to be a mentor and kind of guide them and teach them?
No, I've been doing that for many years. You know, every time a book boy comes into town, but those guys I'm here for a while now, I help them the best I can, make sure that they do the right thing. Obviously, they're unbelievable riders, and way ahead of the time. I mean, for the short time that they've been riding, they're definitely way ahead of the time. And when I came here, it took it much longer for me to be at where they are right now and mentally and what they know about the business. So, you know, then again, they grew up watching racing. They grew up with racing, all that stuff. I didn't do that, so it came a little bit later. For them, they came in ready for it. So they're special kids, definitely.
The Ortiz brothers told me that they grew up idolizing John Velasquez and Angel Cordero Jr. Now they get to compete against you. And last year, I-Rod got the jockey title here at Saratoga. That's a title you've held many times. What's that like to see these young guys come up and have so much success? I know you still want to win it.
The last couple of years, I come in, I don't have the title thing that, you know, come in and win the title. I want to win races. I want to be competitive, you know, and I don't have to ride the 8-9 races every day. You know, if the weekends are busy and the rest of the week I'm 4 or 5, I'm okay with it. You know, I don't need to being in the title type. And if it happens, it happens the way I want to do it. I want to concentrate on the better races, better horses that I can, you know, carry me for the rest of the year. But it's great to see these kids doing what they're doing. You know, like I said earlier, they're hungry, they want to do it, they're passionate about it, and it's great to see that you know, that they're humble as well. You know, not you know, sometimes the kids come in and they have a great success very early, and they go over their heads. I mean, this kid seems to have a way of keeping it low level, not let it go to their heads, and that's impressive as well, though, you know, because anytime you see a young kid coming in, they get the success really, really quickly, you can't tell them anything, you know, whether they're winning many races or whatever, and you come back and you try to explain something to them, they don't want to hear it. These kids are very good, you know, so I'm very impressed about that.
You mentioned wanting to win big races. Well, there's a big one Saturday afternoon, the Grade 1 Diana. You're aboard Recepta for Jimmy Toner Jr. It's a race that you have won on four different occasions. Now, you're tied with three other jockeys for most wins in the race, so if Recepta gets the wire first, you're going to stand alone at top of that list. What would that mean? I know you've won so many races here, so many races in your career, but what's it mean to a jockey to be like the all-time leading jockey in a particular race, especially a race like a Grade 1?
Well, it's a Grade 1 race. It's a very important race, so it means a lot no matter what, and anytime you get to win that kind of race is a big plus. Now that that you just told me that, you know, that I'm tied with a few other jockeys, and to be the you know, the standing alone jockey would be great. I'll tell you what, that's just another thing that I can say, okay, I'm standing alone in that category and win that race. But now, you know, the race is obviously a really tough race. Every year it becomes a tough race. It's just one of those very challenging races, though. You know, I think I have a good horse. I think if we get a good trip, and hopefully we get there on time. But it'll be great to see that, and hopefully we get to win it.
One of those jockeys you're tied with, Eddie Belmonte, who won it four times in the 1970s, you said that you were very close with him for some time.
Yes, I was. I mean, he was my teacher in the jockey school, so I got to know him very, very well. And he was one of the teachers that actually helped me out when I was in jockey school. When I went to jockey school, like I said earlier, I was not raised on the racetrack, so I didn't know anybody, so everything was new to me, even galloping horses, everything, it was new. Even taking care of the horses in the barn, everything was new to me. So when I started galloping horses for the jockey school, he was one of the teachers. When I got to the main track galloping horses, he made sure that I was doing the right thing, go to the right people, learn how to press horses, all that stuff. So he was always on top of me. And so I got to know a lot of him, you know, in his career. So it was great to have him. Watching me over and get to know him, and now that I see that I'm tight with him for some sort of race that in the 70s, it's actually very rewarding to know that. Obviously, the kind of jockey he was a very, very, really good rider from Puerto Rico, and Angel looked up to him, so just to know that, that's special. So hopefully I get to beat him.
Well, let's talk a little bit of strategy. Mile and an eighth on the grass here at Saratoga. What's the key to being successful going a mile and an eighth on this turf course?
You know, you have to have the horses, no matter what it is. You know, I think we have to be a little bit patient, obviously. But we have to see how the grass is playing. Is it going to play a little faster, a little slower? So that's all things that, you know, we don't know yet until we start riding and go and see how the grass is playing. Other than that, you know, I'll see the competition, I'm going to play it, you know, how the day is playing or the grass is playing, and if you have to be a little bit closer or a little bit farther back, and then I play with that, though, you know, and try to get a good trip with her.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that jockeys don't just show up and ride the race. You put a lot of time and effort into getting ready for every race that you ride, but certainly a big one like this. What's your preparation like coming into it at the Grade 1 Diana?
Well, like I was saying, you know, you start preparing yourself and watch the races, obviously, and the day before and the day off, you know, see how the grass is going to be playing that day. Depends on the weather, was it raining or it was not raining. Obviously, it's not supposed to be, I hope it's not raining tomorrow. not supposed to rain, but it's going to be hot. How hard the track's going to get and how fast it's going to get. So all those things you have to put in place at one moment, you know, and race by race and see how it gets. Then you have to look at the competition. Who likes to, you know, be in the lead? Who gets really brave on the lead? Oh, and the fast track as well. Or the horses, or the opposite way. If he's soft, who likes the soft turf? So you got to prepare all that stuff way before you go into the race. So you do all your homework. Then you start looking at the jockeys, what the style of the jockeys, the trainers that you know, most of the trainers, and what's the style of them, tell them the jockeys the instructions. So you put all that in place and try to put it all in into the race. And when that gate's open, all that homework has to help you somewhere. You know what I mean? It just has to be quick. It has to be a reaction. It has to be there. Then again, you have to have the horse to respond for you and the things that you want to do. But all that stuff have to happen quickly enough that you can react for all those things and have the horse put it in the place that you'd like to.
Good luck on Saturday, my friend. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, nobody prepares like Hall of Famer Johnny V, and that is why he is Saratoga's all-time leading rider, and that's why he's in the Hall of Fame, Jude, and a really enjoyable visit there. We want to thank Johnny again for taking the time. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We encourage you to go to EmbraceTheRace.com to embrace your passion for the sport of Kings.
And if you're here at Saratoga, don't forget to stop by the store, the Embrace the Race store. Really cool spot. Lots of fantastic merchandise. They have the best horse racing merchandise in the country, in my opinion.
Yesterday, Johnny teamed with Todd Pletcher to add to his record number of wins in the Schuylerville when they won with Sweet Loretta. Now, Johnny's won that race on 5 different occasions. Todd Pletcher, that was his 6th winner in the race. Now, when they go postward with the 2-year-old boy race, the Sanford, this afternoon, Johnny's going to be looking for win number 8 in that race. And Todd, as we know, he's been dominant in that race as well. Jude, they have won the race. Of those 7 times that Johnny's won, 6 of those have been for Todd Pletcher. They're back again as a team in this afternoon, Sanford. Maybe another win in the making.
Well, you know, as our colleague Ellis Starr always likes to say, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, right. Right. Absolutely.
So, together, they have an understanding. And it's nice when you have a rider that you have confidence in, and he knows what you want. You know that he knows, and it just makes everybody happier.
Yeah, well, Johnny, again, looking to take home another title here at Saratoga, but as you heard him say in the interview, going to be much more difficult this year. That's really not his focus when he comes here to Saratoga anymore in his 26th season.
Yeah, I think it was about 3 years ago when he told us that originally, that he was going to, you know, be a little bit more selective about mounts, not kill himself to ride 9 races a day, because, you know, that happens to a lot of riders. They get so good and so popular. You know, I mean, riders are just like everybody else. People think, oh, you know, they don't age. They're so fit. They're so healthy. They're always, you know, they always look good, nice tan and everything from being outside all the time. So they think, oh, these guys, they can do anything, you know. But you know, after you take a couple spills
you know, they feel the aches and pains getting out of bed just like everybody else.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, just the stuff that comes with age. Forget the fact that they're athletes and working hard all the time and working in the morning. So, you know, it's a situation where all of the older riders, as they get towards the end of their careers, they really try to take it a little bit easier. Some of them don't. On big days, they'll still ride the 9, you know, on Breeders' Cup days and that kind of thing. But 3, 4, 5 races, that's probably enough, you know, certainly. And it's a good thing.
Still to come here on the Equine Forum, you're going to hear a special tribute to trainer Tom McCarthy, who passed away Thursday. We're going to visit with trainer Alan Sherman at the end of the show to talk about California Chrome, the Dubai World Cup winner, returning later today at Del Mar. We'll tell you all about that as we edge closer to the end of the program at 10 o'clock Eastern. But it's time now for your Blood Horse News update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Songbird, well, we'll see her tomorrow in the Coaching Club American Oaks. She logged her first gallop here at Saratoga yesterday. Champion Songbird logged that gallop over the Saratoga main track. The undefeated daughter of Medaglia d'Oro, who is eyeing her 9th win when she starts in the $500,000 Oaks tomorrow, galloped a mile and a half under exercise rider Edgar Rodriguez. Jerry Hollendorfer, Songbird's Hall of Fame trainer, was on hand for the 7 a.m. training session, which also included schooling sessions in the starting gate and the paddock. Songbird, owned by Rick Porter's Fox Hill Farms, was well-behaved in the gate, inquisitive in the paddock, and appeared comfortable in her gallop. And that's your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, just head on over to BloodHorse.com. And remember to check out Blood
important breeding, racing, and sales news. Sign up to have a PDF emailed to you in a daily newsletter or download the app on your smartphone today. Bloodhorse.com/daily. We're back with a special tribute to trainer Tom McCarthy right after this on the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Kentucky Downs kicks off a unique 5-day all-grass race meet in September. Live racing September 3rd, 8th, 10th, 11th, and 15th. And the stakes are high with $7.8 million in purses over the 5 days, an average of $1.56 million each day. Kentucky Breds will run for maiden special weight purses of $130,000 and allowance purses of $145,000. Maidens not bred in Kentucky will compete for $58,000 with top allowance for non-Kentucky Breds at $67,000. Learn more at KentuckyDowns.com. Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, the 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic producing sire with his first crop.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Parru. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
In addition to Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs, Gio Ponti is also represented by the exciting Bob Baffert trainee, Dre Fong.
But Dre Fong is well clear at the 16th pole. A talented colt. 2 for 2 this campaign. Dre Fong by 6 lengths.
And Castleton Lion stallion Justin Phillip retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings enter the sales ring this year. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
And they're off to New York, the premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program, the best program.
Grade 1 winner and track record setter Lee is one of the newest additions to the Claiborne Farm roster. The Don Handicap winner traveled around the world and back, competing against the best of his generation. He earned multiple 100-plus buyer speed figures on both dirt and turf, with strong finishes in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, Stephen Foster, Dubai World Cup, and Woodbine Mile, retiring to stud with more than $2.3 million in lifetime earnings. Lee at Claiborne Farm.
Maryland breds are your formula for success. Be part of a breeding program in a state which offers competitive purses, 30% breeder bonuses, 30% owner bonuses, and year-round racing backed by state legislators creating pro breeding and racing legislation, all supported by a working cooperative between the racetracks, horsemen, and breeders. It's time to own a Maryland bred. Better stallions, better mares. Maryland breds. Learn more at MarylandThoroughbred.com.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
With 3/16 of a mile to go, it's General Quarters with the lead. On the outside, Cliff East Future runs at the leader now, second. Far outside, here comes Atomic Rain, third. Back to the inside, Free Country is fourth. Inside the final furlong, it's General Quarters. The upset is on. To the outside, Sumo and Musket Man. But down to the wire, locally based, General Quarters goes on to take it under Jamie Lopez on the wire by 4. Sumo is second, Musket Man third, and Freak Country settles for fourth. Running time on the board, 1:43.2.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you at the Spa, Saratoga in upstate New York. Rolling on with the Equine Forum on a very busy morning here. Don't forget to join us this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern time, for our coverage of the Grade 1 Diana every Saturdays at Saratoga, by visitbarbados.org. And of course, our coverage of the Traver is also sponsored by Sunrise Stallions, which you can hear our Right or Wrong segment coming up in just about 10 minutes from right now with the Big A, Anthony Stabile. That Right or Wrong segment also presented by Sunrise Stallions.
Richard Grunder had the call of the 2009 Sam F. Davis Stakes General Quarters, an impressive winner that day, setting a new track record. He did it for trainer Tom McCarthy, who passed away Thursday at the age of 82 following a battle with melanoma. The former high school biology teacher and principal saddled just 29 winners in his career, none more memorable than his beloved General Quarters, and his passing most certainly leaves a void in the hearts of all who knew him.
Trainer Tom McCarthy passed away this week. One of racing's most colorful characters, horse racing was certainly in his blood.
I have never been back to Ireland to see just exactly where my grandparents were from, but one was from Cork and the other was from Waterford. But the McCarthys that I descended from came from a small town on the Black River called Tallow, and it's a horse place. And I think my great-great-grandfather also was in racing, from what I could find out from my brother. But it goes back quite a ways, and I guess we've been in it for, you know, in Ireland, the national sport is horse racing. And, you know, you just pick that stuff up, and it's hard to get rid of.
The big horse in Tom's life was General Quarters, a horse he claimed that would take him to the Kentucky Derby. Gingerly handled over the winter, Tom took the son of Sky Mesa to Tampa Bay Downs for his sophomore campaign.
He began to develop, he began to grow, and he began to put on weight. He actually became a beautiful-looking horse, and I think we were second in a couple of three-quarter races, but the minute I stretched him out, he became a different horse. And I think the Sam Davis, we broke the track record in the Sam Davis. We were 1 second off the track record in that, held by Street Sense. And after the Sam Davis, I really knew I had something special.
In his final prep for the Kentucky Derby, Tom ran General Quarters in the Toyota Bluegrass at Keeneland.
General Quarters has the lead. Hold Me Back is coming. Terrain is coming from far back. Masoni fourth toward the inside. Final furlong of the Toyota Bluegrass. General Quarters has the advantage. Hold Me Back is coming late. General Quarters and A-Bar Koa spring the upset in the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes.
General Quarters would run 10th in the Kentucky Derby, but would go on to win the Grade 1 Woodford Reserve Turf Classic later in his career while placing in many graded stakes. Tom McCarthy was a great family man and a friend to many on the backstretch. He will most certainly be missed.
You don't know how much you miss somebody till they're gone.
Well, in the words of Tom McCarthy, echoing the sentiments of so many that knew him and loved him around the racetrack, and he will be dearly missed, dead at the age of 82 this past Saturday, trainer Tom McCarthy. Jude, well done. You put that piece together this week, and you know, really nice piece on Tom. Very fitting.
Yeah, thank you. He was a good guy, and a lot of people on the backstretch rooted for him and wanted him to do well, and it was so exciting. When General Quarters was running, he was one of those guys. Every year there's a story like that on the Derby trail, somebody that really is rather obscure and gets a little spotlight on him. I remember when Shelley Riley was on the Derby trail, she was a media darling, and Tom was like that. But he was a good fella, and his sons were very involved with the stable, and his wife was a tremendous friend and advisor to him. So he's going to be missed by a lot of people.
Yeah, and this will give you chills as well. Maybe some divine intervention in the nightcap at Ellis Park yesterday. That's exactly how announcer Jimmy McNierney put it to the crowd when Blame Angel captured the eighth race at Ellis Park yesterday, won by 2 3/4 lengths. Blame Angel previously ran on Father's Day at Churchill Downs, winning at odds of 17-1. Blame Angel was the last horse to run with Tom McCarthy as a trainer, and now running with his son, Tom S. McCarthy, as the trainer of record. His other son is also involved as the co-owner of this four-year-old filly, Blame Angel. Gilbert Nutt of Louisville, also one of the owners, and his son saying that when he pulled off I-64 onto I-69 outside of Evansville, he looked up and he said, "Help us out today. Give us some help because I know you'll push us." Blame Angel getting to the winner's circle yesterday. Pretty cool.
How cool was that? Very, very cool.
Yeah, great stuff. And Tom McCarthy will certainly be missed.
All right, it's time now for our Right or Wrong segment presented by Sunrise Stallions, which, of course, is the home to Big Brown, Frost Giant, his full brother Heavy Breathing. You can learn more by visiting sunrisestallions.com. And to help me out with this segment this morning and every morning throughout the Saratoga meet, it's the Big A, Anthony Stabile. It is time for Right or Wrong.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, got to love Nicky Zito. Big A, are you ready to go?
Always ready, Baron. Good morning, guys.
All right, let's do it, my man. All right, number one, Champion Songbird has yet to taste defeat. She will defy the mystique of Saratoga and whistle past the graveyard of champions in the Coaching Club American Oaks.
That is absolutely positively right. To me, and I've said this numerous times on the HRR and airwaves, she's the best filly I've ever seen. That's since Ruffian. I don't think there's a horse in training, period. You could have Chrome, Beholder, period, better than Songbird. I don't think the aura of Saratoga, the mystique, gets her tomorrow or on the Alabama. Songbird is the girl right now.
All right, I have four words for you, Big A, and then I'm just going to move on to the second debate that we're going to have here this morning. Upset, Onion, Keen Ice. Next, look out, Songbird. Yeah, right or wrong? Am I right or wrong? Of course I'm right. I know I'm right. All right, number two, California.
By the way, that was like eight.
Yeah, I know. I got a little verbose. California Chrome returns from his Dubai World Cup win. Well, Dortmund makes his seasonal debut in the San Diego at Del Mar later today. This race is, in fact, more important for Dortmund than it is for California Chrome. Right or wrong, Big A?
You know, Baron, I think that's wrong, and I'm going to tell you why. When you are on top of the heat, they're all very important. And I know Dortmund hasn't run in a very long time. We're looking at 9 months, and he needs to get his season going. But California Chrome right now is the king of that division. And when you're the king, everybody is trying to topple the king. It makes every time he steps on a racetrack that more important. It's an important race for Dortmund because he has to get going. But when you're number one like Chrome is right now, they're all important. I think this is a more important race for California Chrome.
Yeah, I think it's important for both, obviously. I mean, they both want to get the victory. They both want to win. You know, I don't know if it takes away from California Chrome if he gets beat today. I mean, people are wagon, and they're going to say, well, California Chrome's not what he once was, or he didn't come back the same way, and people are going to start knocking him. I don't know. I mean, look, the San Diego is not California Chrome's ultimate goal this year. California Chrome wants to get back to the Breeders' Cup and then probably the Pegasus World Challenge at Gulfstream Park early next year. The San Diego is not the ultimate goal. They're going to do what's right by the horse. He should win the race on class. Dortmund's very good. He's not in the same category as California Chrome. He should win the race on class today. If he doesn't, it is takes nothing away from him, and you know, I don't think it's important to really to either one. I don't think that really plays into it.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, Big A, that segment, of course, presented by Sunrise Stallions. We'll be together every single Saturday morning throughout segment, and looking forward to the coverage coming up later this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern Time with the Grade 1 Diana, and all your coverage, my friend, coming up on Express Bet Radio throughout the week.
Yep, 3 to 6, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with the little A, Acacia Courtney. We have all the Saratoga and Del Mar coverage for you, a little Gulfstream Park and Delaware Park sprinkled in as well.
All right, well, there you go. And, of course, you can catch the Big A and Ella Starr, the Uber capper, on the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview every Friday from 6 to 7 Eastern Time. And that now posted as a podcast on our website. They go through and handicap all the big races every single Friday night and tell you who they like on the weekend. Check it out right now at horseracingradio.net. Big A, appreciate it, my friend.
Enjoy opening weekend at Saratoga, guys.
All right, you got it. And we're back with more in just a moment. We'll talk to Alan Sherman, the trainer of California Chrome, coming up here in about 5 minutes from right now, right after this word from Sunrise Stallions.
Sunrise Stallions,
home of Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother, Heavy Breathing. With 18% stakes horses from starters, Frost Giant continues to produce exciting runners, including top two-year-olds, winning against Open Company and in stakes competitions.
Bobby on Fleek, very impressive six-length winner here.
Sonido moving clear to win easily.
Miss Freeze, a sharp stakes-winning debut.
Learn more about Frost Giant, Big Brown, and Heavy Breathing at sunrisestallions.com.
JT, that was an interesting question, talking about California Chrome and Dortmund, right? Which one is this race more important for later today in the San Diego? I mean, obviously it's important for both horses. You heard what I just said, but it doesn't take away from California Chrome if he gets beat today, right?
You know, you get a bunch of chromies will be sad.
Right.
But I mean, in the overall scheme of things, I think you were spot on. It's really not an important race for either horse. I think it's a, you know, it's a big race for the fans. It's a big, you know, nice matchup. I mean, it's nice that they have a horse of Dortmund's quality to run against California Chrome. I mean, if he hadn't gotten ready in time, then that race kind of would have been nondescript. But, you know, it's a good matchup, and both horses are very talented. I've always been a big Dortmund fan. He's a beautiful horse. Unfortunately, God didn't give him very good feet, kind of like me.
Yeah.
We have something in common there. You know, it's one of those things where I'm sure Bob Baffert would love to beat California Chrome. I mean, you know, trainers love that stuff, beat the champ kind of thing. And, you know, and I'm sure the Shermans really want California Chrome to win. I mean, the horse is on a roll. They want to keep it that way. So it's a good matchup. But I don't think horsemanship-wise, I don't think either guy wants to knock their horse out for this race. They're just really getting back in the swing of things.
Now we're going to hear it right from the horse's mouth, so to speak, when trainer Alan Sherman joined us in just about 3 or 4 minutes from right now. We're going to get to a break. Then we will take you down Queen's Way, and we will be joined by Alan Sherman to do that. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss?
Hello?
Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Hello?
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience. Ramsey Farms Kitten's Joy.
They're racing up to the wire. Divisadero with a nose down in front to win it.
It is going to be Camelot Kitten. Camelot Kitten did it.
But the Christmas pass to Sharp Kitty by three.
A champion sire who continues to prove he's world class.
Tarif takes him on and Tarif gets up to beat George Patton.
Inside the final 100 yards. Hawkfield just going on to win the Eclipse.
Kitten's Joy, a world class sire. Standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Frosted letting go. He'll be 5 wide on the turn. Then came Candy Boy Gunpit. An opportunity as they fight for the run of the judge. California Chrome out wide and loomed up. Sure Wish in the center. Wonder Hedge on the rail. They get away from Special Fighter. But California Chrome has gone into overdrive. He's 2 lengths in front. He's clear of Wonder Hedge battling on. Then for Sure Wish, but it's California Chrome in front. It's Alchemy in Dubai. Chrome turns to gold. California Chrome wins the Dubai World Cup from Wonder Hedge and Opportunity.
Terry Spargo with the call of that Dubai World Cup 4 months ago, March 26th in Dubai, and Chrome turns to gold. That's happened several times throughout his career. Of course, the Kentucky Derby hero, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner. Boy, he is on a roll right now. He has earned more than $12 million in his career, 12 for 21 lifetime, looking to add to that total later today where the turf meets the surf at Old Del Mar in the San Diego. And we're joined now going down the road to the Breeders' Cup with trainer Alan Sherman. He and his dad, Art, have been by California Chrome's side from the very beginning. Alan, welcome to the program, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
We're doing great. We're sitting here trackside at Saratoga. How can that be bad?
Oh, nice, nice.
Well, you get a pretty good consolation prize out there at Del Mar, though.
Yeah, we got a pretty good view here as well.
How about that call? Terry Spargo, Chrome turns to gold in the Dubai World Cup 4 months ago. Can you believe it's been 4 months ago?
I can't, and I still get chills listening to it.
That might have been one of the greatest race calls of all time. I thought it was just outstanding, and what a performance that day.
Yeah, he was training like a beast back there. Getting him over there early, getting a race in him, give him a chance to get acclimated and everything. I think if I had to do it all over again, I'd do the exact same thing. Obviously, Curlin did the same thing, and I think that's the way to go.
Alan, tell me about being there watching it. Of course, it was your second trip to Dubai for the World Cup with California Chrome. He was second the year before. Then he finally dominates the race this year. What was different going back the second time, and what was different watching that type of performance?
Well, the first time I went back there, obviously it was a completely new experience for, everybody involved. But we learned a lot that first year, and then we told ourselves, if we go back, we're going to do things a little bit different, get there early, get a race in him, give him a chance to get acclimated, because, it's hot over there, and I think it has a toll on the horse after a while between traveling and then being 12 hours difference and the weather and everything. So I think being there as long as we were was a really big plus for us.
With all the great success you've had over there, you should probably be able to rent yourself out for the rest of your life as an advisor to people running horses in the World Cup.
I would definitely go back. It was it's quite an experience over there. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, so what have it's been like for California Chrome? Speed.
I'm sorry, Mike. You were breaking up.
The last 4 months for California Chrome, what have they been like?
Oh, it's been great. He's trained ever since he's come back in from the farm. He's trained forwardly. He hasn't taken a step back. He's ready to run. I'm just looking forward to getting him going again and getting this race in him and then looking forward to the Pacific Classic.
We were just debating this before you came on the show, Alan, if this race was more important for a horse like California Chrome or if it meant more to a horse like Dortmund. This is not the ultimate goal. You're obviously looking toward the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita in November. You're looking toward maybe the Pegasus World Cup at Gulfstream early next year. How important is it for California Chrome to get a victory later today?
Well, it's always important to get a victory, of course. But You know, if he doesn't win today, it's not the end of the world. You know, we are looking for the future for bigger and better things. I think the long-term goal is obviously the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Pegasus. I think, you know, today he's ready to run. I think he's going to run his race, and I think it's going to take some really special run to beat him today, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if he performs the way he usually does, Dortmund, in my opinion, just isn't as good a horse as he is. So Dortmund's going to have his life in order to beat California Chrome. And, you know, he may well do that, but he's coming off of a layoff. He's got some question marks to answer himself. So you got to feel pretty confident going in.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm always confident when this horse runs. I always think he's going to win, you know, but they don't all win every race, you know. You know that as well as anybody. I mean, there's very few horses that go unbeaten.
Yeah, Alan, a little bit of a different scenario than when he came back from Dubai in 2015. You're coming back earlier, certainly, than you did there because you had all the issues after Dubai with going to England and all those types of circumstances in 2015. Everything this year seems, from the outside looking in, to have gone according to plan. What's different this time around?
You know, you're right, Mike. Everything has gone according to plan this year. And, you know, in this game, it usually doesn't happen. Obviously, they're animals, not machines. And, you know, things happen with racehorses. And we've been very, very fortunate as far as him, you know, just keeps going forward, hasn't taken any steps back, which is, it's not easy to do in this game. You know, these horses, they're fragile. So we've been real lucky on that end of it.
Yeah, you know, I usually hate to ask this question of trainers because I know it's one race at a time and you're focused on this race this afternoon and you got to get by this one. But you mentioned the bigger goals up the road. Have you mapped out the rest of his 2016 campaign?
Yeah, we pretty much got it mapped out. Obviously, he'll run in the Pacific Classic on the 20th of August, and then we'll get a race into him before the Breeders' Cup Classic, which will be the Awesome Again, and then the Breeders' Cup Classic. And then we've got kind of a lull between the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Pegasus race. We haven't decided if we'll run him once before the Pegasus race or just go straight into it. We'll have to just play that by ear.
Yeah, it's good to have a plan in the back of your mind, but of course, like you said, horses are not machines, so you have to make little adjustments along the way, and he'll tell you what to do as per usual.
Absolutely, yeah. He definitely lets you know when he's ready to run, and he's ready.
Talking with trainer Alan Sherman from Del Mar here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, we are on the other coast at Saratoga getting ready for our Saturdays at Saratoga coverage, which kicks off this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern, with a really nice running of the Grade 1 Diana. Some news coming out this past week, Alan, that California Chrome will now be running for a very good cause. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, portion of Chrome's earnings are going to be going to the Jimmy V Foundation, which, you know, it's a great foundation. 100% of the donations go towards, you know, research for cancer. And, you know, not a lot of the places, you know, the foundations give 100% of the money to the cause. But this one actually gives 100% of the money to the cause, and it's a good foundation, and I just feel real proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, it'll be great to see, and California Chrome running for that Jimmy V fund, and you said going 100% of the money from the Jimmy V fund going back to fight cancer and cancer research, and I couldn't think of a better cause, and we'll all be cheering for a horse like California Chrome in that respect.
Oh, absolutely, and that's a very nice gesture from the ownership group.
Alan, before we let you go, first of all, good luck this afternoon, but before we let you go, you got to give me an update on my man Jasper. How's he doing?
He's awesome. He's been guarding Chrome all week.
How does Chrome like having him around?
Oh, Chrome loves him. You know, I had him rolling around yesterday, and Jasper was in his face when he was rolling around, and it didn't bother him. He actually likes Jasper.
So is Jasper starting to learn how to behave like a regular dog now instead of that puppy stage he was in before?
He's always behaved. Come on, Mike. This is my son you're talking about.
Come on. You had to send him to boarding school or something. What are you talking about?
Well, oh, yeah, that's right. He did go to military school there for a bit. yeah, he's really good,
Alan,
now.
You're the best, my man. Say hello to your dad. Say hello to California Chrome for us, and give Jasper a big hug.
You got it, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being with us.
Like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. And Jasper, boy, what a great little puppy dog he is. Really cool dog.
Yeah, he's great. And Alan's such a good fella, you know, takes after his dad. The two nicer guys you'd never encounter in your life.
No, great for the sport of thoroughbred racing. Of course, this segment, Road to the Breeders' Cup, presented by Gainsway. We'll step away for a short word from Gainsway, and we'll come back and wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum.
Power.
Frosted's 10 in front. Frosted is absolutely rubbed in the mat mile.
Passion.
California Chrome laboring late. Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Performance.
It was Creator and Destined right on the wire, and Erad Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet, a two-time champion sire, and once again, number one in 2016. More than $3 million clear on the general sire list, with 21 graded stakes horses and 8 graded stakes winners this year, including Belmont Stakes Hero and Gainsway sales graduate Creator, and Frosted, a 14.5-length winner of the Grade 1 Met Mile. 13 yearlings by Tappet have been cataloged to the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale this August. Colts, fillies, graded stakes winners at any distance. Tappet, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Well, it's been an extremely busy show here this morning. We want to say thanks to Larry Colmus for taking the time to sit down with that interview that you heard in the first half of the program. Bob Feld, the breeder of today's favorite. That is Miss Temple City. He was here with us. Some great things in that interview in the first half of the show as well. Hall of Famer John Velasquez for joining us yesterday on the backside. We played that interview for you right around 9 o'clock Eastern time. And, of course, Alan Sherman just a short time ago. And the big A, Anthony Stabile, for calling in for that right or wrong. That we've covered an awful lot of ground. And, Jude, we ain't done yet.
No. Just scratching the surface, as they say. But speaking of the surface, the horses are moving well over the track today. Closers were winning yesterday, and it was a little deep on the inside rail. I don't know if they made any adjustments, but the breezers that we've seen this morning, and there's been a considerable amount of them, they seem to be moving over the track really nicely today.
Maybe something to keep an eye on in the early races. Let's see how it's playing. Are horses winning from off the pace? Are they getting tired on the front end? And let's face it, there were some races on the main track yesterday where those fractions, that first quarter was just blazing hot. So not unexpected that you would have horses coming from off the pace to get the victories.
No, that's true. But, you know, the speed is the universal track bias is a line that Andy Beyer often uses. And, you know, the jocks all want to try to – it's a game of real estate, so they want to try to go to the lead and open up or, you know, at least get a good position. And so the races were a little funny. It always pays when you're going to a new track or it's opening day, first couple days, to be a little bit more conservative in your bets, maybe see how the track's playing a little bit, you know, see how the races are running, and then get a feel for what you want to do. If you start plunking it in early and there was a track like yesterday that closers seem to be the thing and you're backing speed horses, you can lose a lot of money quickly. So always take a conservative approach the first part of a meet.
Morning training is wrapping up.
They will conclude that shortly. There are only a few horses left on the main track. Of course, the turf course, a gorgeous, gorgeous shade of light green, and that is where they will contest the Grade 1 Diana later today. Once again, our coverage beginning 5:30 Eastern Time. Make sure you join us. Myself, Jude, and the little A, Acacia Courtney, all going to be with you from 5:30 to 6:30 to bring you that exclusive coverage of the Grade 1 Diana presented by visitbarbados.org. Now, next Saturday, we come back with the Jim Dandy. That's a two-hour show because the Jim Dandy, the A.G. Vanderbilt, there are several great stakes on next Saturday's program. It is also another milestone day for us here on the network as we debut HRRN en Español. That's right, Spanish language coverage of thoroughbred horse racing. JT, I don't know if it's ever been done before here in the state. Certainly hasn't been done with us here in the Horse Racing Radio Network. Luis Grandison is the Spanish language announcer here at NYRA. His calls will be part of that. Roberto Rodriguez will be hosting the coverage along with analyst Eloy Vilma, and really looking forward to having them up here with us, and going to be our friends. Anybody who is a Spanish language person that doesn't speak English very well and they can only understand Spanish, they can now tune into Thoroughbred Racing, HRRN and Espanol next week.
Yeah, and if you enjoy listening to Spanish coverage, tune in. These are excellent, excellent at what they do. So it's going to be very exciting for us to be a part of that and looking forward to it.
Might even have a Ramon Dominguez sighting next Saturday afternoon here at the spa.
Yes.
Pertaining to that cover. That's a little tease. Yeah. All right, again, our thanks to all of our special guests for being with us here this morning. Remember to join us this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern Time here on the network. Check out the podcast of this show, horseracingradio.net, and all of our shows right there on our website. For our producers, Lee Delapina back in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. For my beautiful wife, Michelle, on site, doing a great job this morning. For the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. Hey, you know what? Training camp's almost here. Go Steelers!
Good night, Barbados.